Well, hello there. So glad to see your beautiful face. Thanks for coming back to another episode. And this one is inspired by celebrities, and more specifically, it's inspired by Beyoncé Knowles, female pop vocalist. If you're Beehive and you remember the music, you'll know exactly what that reference is. But this episode is inspired by one Beyoncé Giselle Knowles Carter. And her recent headlines with Adidas about the termination of their Ivy Park brand. They being Adidas, is no longer going to be moving forward with Ivy Park, citing really low sales as the major factor for pulling the plug on the whole project. And it just got me to thinking, also inspired by a question that was asked of me on my TikTok, which again, I can't say enough. If you're not on TikTok, we're having a lot of fun over there. You should definitely come and hang out with us. Like, we be cutting up. It's a good ass time. Don't miss out. So, anyways, someone asked me on TikTok about Beyoncé and where she fits into the whole conversation of artists and celebrities turned fashion creative directors, designers, etc. And I thought that was such a great question, which was on the heels of a question about Pharrell pretty much doing the same thing. But Beyoncé is a much more interesting case study than Pharrell, in my opinion, and I'll tell you why briefly. Pharrell, I personally believe he's not new to this. He's true to this. He has been a fashion darling for quite some time. He didn't just stumble into a relationship with luxury houses. He's been on their radar for quite a while. He also had a really close working relationship with Karl Lagerfeld at Chanel before he passed away. And they even did a couple of one-off pieces, if you guys remember the whole Chanel Pharrell collaboration that came out in very limited quantities. But Chanel doesn't just put their money behind just any old body. And they had him as a brand ambassador for quite a while. And Pharrell, it's documented, okay? We don't have to sit here and go through his resume, but like, it's documented that he's been a fashion darling for a long time. Like, he is what the young kids consider ASAP Rocky to be to fashion now, but even more so because he was able to launch his own businesses in fashion before he even got in bed with these other European conglomerates. So I think Pharrell is his own situation in and of itself. And I don't really lump him in with the general conversation about celebrities who want to end up with clothing lines. But Beyoncé is super interesting to me because she has a ton of star power. But she cannot convince the general public to buy clothing from her to save her life. She can't convince us. The most hardcore Beehive stan will not walk outside the house in a vintage piece from House of Darion. Like, they won't do it. They simply will not do it. It doesn't. They will go up for Miss Beyoncé, but ask them to put on a vintage piece of Darion and walk outside unironically. They won't do it. You know why? Because it was hideous. And no one could convince us to buy that stuff, not even Beyoncé herself. And I find that so interesting because you would think someone like that, who has such a cult-like following, would be able to sell anything at any given point in time, no matter what it is. Her husband famously said in a rap song, "I'm a hustler, baby. I can sell water to a well." So you would think it would stand to reason that his wife could do the same. And you would be wrong because we have documented proof that, try as she might, she can't get us to buy into her lines. She can't get us to buy into the clothing that she's trying to give us. And I have a lot of theories as to why that is. But we're using Beyoncé as a case study to talk about the general rise of the celebrity as a staple in the fashion industry, because that wasn't always the case. So let's give a little bit of historical context to this. If you ask me, I think that if you pinpoint the turning point in fashion when celebrities started to become more important to the whole puzzle and more of a conversation piece, I think it starts with Anna Wintour at Vogue. She has famously said on numerous occasions that one of the most groundbreaking things that she did at the time was move away from having actual fashion models on the cover of Vogue and put celebrities on the cover of Vogue. I believe the one of the first, if not the first celebrity she put on the cover of Vogue after she became editor was Madonna, which doesn't seem like a big deal now, but in the 80s or early 90s, whenever that was, she was a very controversial figure. So to put her on the cover of a magazine that is considered highly tasteful and luxurious, it was definitely a risky venture at the time. So I'll give Miss Wintour, I'll tip my hat off to her in that regard, that within the context of when she did certain things, it was groundbreaking. It was, at the very least, making a statement. Whether or not you agree with that statement is a whole other conversation to itself, but Vogue was at one point under Anna's watch making definitive statements. Whether you loved them or hated them, they were saying something. And I think over time, having celebrities occupy such a prestigious space, as in the Vogue covers, opened a door, if you will, to taking them way more seriously than they were prior to having that opportunity. Because for many, many years, celebrities were just kind of B-list when it came to people who were in the fashion industry. Like, they weren't really moving the needle per se. There weren't a lot of celebrity brand ambassadors once upon a time, if you can believe it, because now it seems like you can't imagine a world where there's a brand that doesn't rely on some type of good press from a celebrity. But, you know, once upon a time, it was like that. It was way more organic. It wasn't these back-end brand deals that are so ubiquitous now. That was unheard of. And until Anna made those changes, people didn't really take celebrities that seriously when it came to high fashion. So I think this all starts there. And then it starts to roll down the hill and become a bigger and bigger and bigger snowball that has wide-reaching arms at that point. And then we have the world that we live in today, where it seems like you are a rarity if you have a fashion line or a beauty line or luggage, whatever it is, and there's no celebrity backing behind it. That's very unusual in the times that we live in, right? And I think we have Anna Wintour to thank for that. Whether you love her or hate her, I think she's responsible. And so now we have generations of people who have grown to view celebrities in high fashion spaces as completely normal, if not encouraged, if not celebrated. And if you ask a young person today to name three models from the present day, I don't even know that most people would have an easy time of doing that versus three celebrities of their day. Because back in my day, which was not that long ago, you know, this, of course, Anna Wintour had been putting celebrities on the cover of Vogue at this point for a long time, but models were still holding their weight and they were still booking all of these luxury campaigns. That was still their thing. Even though there were celebrities on the magazine covers, when you flipped through the pages of the magazine itself and you looked at all of the ads, you were still seeing models booking the campaigns. Like, you'd see somebody like Natalia Vodianova in, I want to say she had a Dior campaign at some point many years ago. I can't remember exactly. Or you had like Jessica Stamm for Marc Jacobs. I know she was a Marc Jacobs girl for a while. Or you had like Natasha Poli for Gucci. And these are names that most people, it would just elicit crickets at this point. It's like, I have no idea who you're talking about. But back then, we used to know models by name, and those were the people who were booking these big ad campaigns. And now, you flip through a magazine and you see an ad for Louis Vuitton, and Zendaya is in that ad. That's her campaign. A campaign that would have typically gone to a model is now going to a celebrity ambassador. Or even Kendall Jenner, who, yes, she believes she's a model, no shade, beautiful girl, but she's more of a celebrity than anything. She's a celebrity who models. She's not a model that's a celebrity, if you ask me, but we can have a whole sidebar conversation about her. But you'll see Kendall Jenner book all of these lucrative campaigns. And once upon a time, the girls who were booking these campaigns were not in reality shows and were not sitting courtside at NBA games with Bad Bunny and with other mega A-list celebrities. They were just models. This is their bread and butter. This is what they do. And when they book a campaign, that's when they get like the really big fat checks. But this is my profession and this is what I do. And I'm not here to be seen. I'm not here for a cult-like following. Like, this is my job. This is what I do. So we live in very different times, to make a long story short. And all of this compiles into what we have today, where the average person does not know the model's name. And they probably do resonate more with seeing Zendaya hold a Louis Vuitton bag than they would some random model from the Ukraine, like it used to be 10, 15 years ago. That doesn't resonate with them anymore. And that we're expecting to see a celebrity in these glossy ads and in these pages of these magazines in order to feel some type of connection to the brand now, which is crazy because that was never the case once upon a time. And now I think that one of the reasons why so many celebrities are in the fashion space is because brands are looking for a way to tap into this loyal clientele and this loyal following. And nowadays, the way society is set up, the best and most efficient way to go about capturing that brand loyalty is by partnering up with a celebrity who has their own cult-like following. And so we're seeing now that it's not enough for a celebrity to just be the face of a campaign for a brand. Most of the time now, celebrities are now leveraging their notoriety to actually get some type of brand equity with these companies and be in bed with them in some long-term, lucrative legal partnerships that span over a long stretch of time. Which I understand that, because if you're trying to capture the brand loyalty from these people, you would do better to have a long-term rollout and a long-term partnership with a celebrity versus something for like the first quarter of the year, for example. And thinking short term, thinking quarter to quarter, which is how typically companies do think, it's not working for younger generations of people because the customer now is way more discerning, way more savvy, way more in the know than she's ever been. And especially, with the rise of like climate change and with all of the other terrible things that are going on in our world, a lot of us need to be compelled in way more scenarios than we would have 15 years ago. Now it's not enough to just see a pretty bag. Now it's okay, I see a pretty bag on this celebrity who I really like and who I have this parasocial relationship with. And she's saying in her Instagram post that she's partnering with Louis Vuitton because they are in alignment with her values, quote unquote. And now that speaks to the deeper sense of meaning that I need to have to make sense of this crazy world. And it's not enough to just buy a new thing. I have to buy a new thing and have a deeper feeling attached to it and know that I am part of a larger cause that's bigger than myself, that is being backed and supported by a celebrity that I personally love and look up to and admire. And she says that this brand is in alignment with her values and that she's happy to partner up with them for the long term. And it just inspires a feeling of confidence that an ad with some random Eastern European model from 2008 just would not do for you at this point in your life, the way our society is set up today. It's just not working. And so, taking it back to Beyoncé, saying all that I said, it is interesting that with the very, very loyal following that she has, she's not convincing enough to sell clothing. And let's do a deep dive into why that is. Let's talk about Ivy Park Adidas, since that's her most recent foray into clothing. So, Ivy Park Adidas was announced in 2019, I believe, after a terminated partnership with Ivy Park for Topshop, which, if you saw my TikTok, I'll say it here again. Ivy Park Topshop is so boring and uninspired to me. It's honestly not even worth talking about. I think it was a complete waste of everybody's time. And if it was a money grab, then it wouldn't surprise me in the slightest. So, Adidas Ivy Park happened in 2019. And now we're in 2023. And earlier this year, in the first fiscal quarter, we have an official response from Adidas saying that they are going to terminate that relationship because of low sales. The brand projected Ivy Park to do 250 million, and Ivy Park has done 40 million. And they pay Beyoncé $20 million a year to be in partnership with her and to be able to use her face and her likeness. So, needless to say, you know what those numbers are. It's been a huge flop. They have not gotten their return on investment, not even in the slightest. They haven't even broken even at this point with Ivy Park Adidas. The brand is completely bleeding money. And you wonder, why is that? And I have a couple different theories. I think if you are going to be a celebrity turned creative director, fashion designer, company founder, whatever it is that they're trying to do these days, you have to really gauge your audience and you have to have some consideration for the fact that they're not stupid and gullible. They are loyal, but they're not stupid and they're not gullible. And I don't think that Beyoncé, when it comes to fashion, I don't think that she has a true idea of who her target audience is, which is astounding when you think about all of the brilliant, brilliant minds and all of the working capital that's behind her and her team. You would think that they'd have a better grasp on that, but all of these different forays into fashion have crashed and burned, and it's very obvious to me that her team has no idea who would wear her clothing. Because Ivy Park Adidas is activewear, right? It was marketed as activewear. I mean, it's Adidas, it's not high fashion. And it was priced exorbitantly high, not only for what it is, because Adidas also does collaborations with Stella McCartney, and that's not cheap either, but it was priced absurdly high for who Beyoncé's target audience is. Stella McCartney's target audience doesn't mind paying out the nose for overpriced activewear. They were paying out the nose for overpriced vegan leather for years and years and years. And I love Stella McCartney's stuff, so that's no shade. But they were paying out the nose for overpriced vegan leather for all these years. So, of course, it would stand to reason that they have the money for overpriced activewear as well. So, they have that going for them already. Beyonce has her items, and by Beyonce I mean Adidas and Beyonce's team. I don't think Beyonce is solely responsible, but Beyonce's whole team for this Ivy Park brand has no idea who her target audience is. Yes, millions and millions of people love Beyonce, think that she is incredible. But when you actually sit and think about who likes her as an artist and as a celebrity versus who wants to dress like her, those are completely different people. And those numbers look completely different. The people who want to dress like Beyonce are not going to spend 300 something dollars on activewear. They're not going to do it because, frankly, I don't think that they have the money to do it. But also, it just doesn't resonate with them. And it doesn't help that they never saw Beyonce actually rock her own stuff. Like Savage Fenty, Rihanna, it's believable that Rihanna is wearing lingerie. Even if I never see her in lingerie, because of course it's underneath her clothing, I can easily believe that she's wearing Savage Fenty underneath her clothes because it's believable for her brand. Sexy underwear is believable for the Rihanna brand. Ivy Park Adidas is not convincing as the Beyonce brand. It's so left of center from what she posts on her page of her own personal fits that she's creating with a stylist or with her team or image consultant, whatever the case might be. The Ivy Park stuff looks drastically different from what she just randomly decides to post on her Instagram for funsies. And so there's this stark difference between what you're trying to get me to buy and what it seems like you yourself actually like. And on top of the fact that this doesn't feel authentic, it's also grossly overpriced for what it is. And so you never see her in it. When she's not promoting the campaign rollout, she literally never wears her stuff, which is crazy. And it's too expensive. And regular people can't even get their hands on it because it was always sold out at launch. I don't know if they intentionally did that to create demand and hype over it. I don't know if they intentionally only put up a few pieces for sale at a time so that they could turn around and be like, "Oh my God, we sold out of Ivy Park in 4.5 hours. Whoa, it's going like hotcakes." You know, brands do that. Spoiler alert, there are brands who will intentionally put out a small batch of items so that they can tell you that they sold out of a collection in however many hours or days. And they're not lying, but they are not telling the full truth. A brand will tell you, like, "Oh, we sold out of this in 26 minutes," but they won't tell you that they only made 30 pieces. So, you know, it's a little ploy to create hype and create demand and possible sales down the line for a brand, you know, tale as old as time. But if you're projecting $250 million in revenue, I can't understand for the life of me why you would have small batches in production. Because how are you going to hit 250 million if you don't have units? Anytime you're hitting numbers that high, and your price point is, even though it's high for what it is, that price point is still low to hit a $250 million desired sales target. So that means since your sales target is so high and your AUR, your average unit of retail, is pretty low, that means in order to hit that target, you're going to have to do sales by volume. So you're going to have to sell a lot of Ivy Park to generate $250 million if the median price is like 150 bucks. So I don't understand how anything would sell out in 5 or 10 minutes if this was ever a goal for you. So that's the confusing part of that from the Adidas perspective, because I know that's logistics based and I don't blame Beyonce for that part at all. That wasn't her part of the bargain. But somebody over at Adidas Corporate dropped the ball because it was always sold out. So that's problem number three. Because number one was it's overpriced, right? Number two is that the founder, creative director, quote unquote, of this whole line never wears it. So that's a red flag because why are you creative directing something that you don't even like? I'm not believing you. We don't believe you. You need more people, which is also a line that her husband said. Can you tell him from Brooklyn? And then number three, as we just said, is that it was never available. So it was just a dumpster fire waiting to happen, unfortunately. And then we can go even further back to House of Darion days. If you're a true OG Beehive girl, you remember those days very well. And that line also did horribly. That line was never profitable at any point in time. It's crazy. And that line was plagued with different problems than Ivy Park Adidas. And even Beyonce at some point, she promoted the heck out of Darion way more than she ever did any of the Ivy Parks. She used to shout out Darion on songs. She used to wear some of the pieces on the red carpet and in some of her videos. In the Irreplaceable video, for example, she has on a House of Darion hoodie, which is like the majority of the video is her in that hoodie. So she's promoting hard. And then on Get Me Bodied, that record, she had a whole line about Shake Your Derriere and Darion. So she was promoting Darion heavily. Which is in contrast to the Ivy Parks, where once the campaign trail is over, like you never see her talk about it again. She was actually promoting Darion heavily, and it still flopped, which tells me that it's definitely just deeper than, oh, well, we don't see Beyonce in it. It's deeper than that. And now, the deep, deep part of this, I think, is, and this extends to other celebrities too, but Beyonce is just a case study here. But she's representative of a bigger picture, of course. People can tell when you're not being authentic. As dumb and gullible as you might think your fan base is, I'm not saying that Beyonce thinks that anyone is dumb or gullible, but for the sake of this conversation, let's just say that. As dumb and gullible as you think a fan base is, people can tell when you're not being authentic. It's just a matter of whether or not people care. Because somebody can tell that you're not being your authentic self and they won't care and they like the fakery and they'll just rock with it and they'll give you their money anyway. And there are some people who I feel like that about. I like the fakery. I'm like, "Oh, well, the fakery is entertaining to me. I'm fine with it, you know. Keeps me entertained." So, it's not even that you have to move in authenticity every single time you do something as a celebrity, 'cause none of them do that, to be frank. But it has to be to the point where it's not egregious. And I think, don't come for me, Beehive. I love her. But I think Beyonce and or any other celebrity you want to insert painting themselves as a stylish person or a style icon is just never going to be believable. Nobody's ever going to buy it. Because you don't have that air that comes with having unique style, that comes with being a genuine lover of fashion in a way that would compel most people to go out and buy your stuff, especially if it's not stuff that's not emblazoned with your likeness on it, like it's not merch. Because Beyonce sells merch very well. But that's because the merch is Beyonce's likeness. And what Beyonce has been trying to sell is just stuff that is not inextricably linked to her. And we don't like that. We love the merch, but we don't like when she just tries to sell us clothes for the sake of clothes. It has never worked for her. And a good part of why that is because we can tell that it's inauthentic. We can tell that it's forced. It doesn't feel like you. It doesn't feel fresh or cool or unique or natural. And sometimes star power is not enough. And that's one of those humbling moments when you think your star power is all you need to get to the other side of where you're going, and society will humble you real quick and be like, no, I'm not buying that. No, you're not convincing me at all, girl. I'm not convinced. Versus someone like a Solange, who, funny enough, has never done a clothing line as far as I can tell, but she has style that is truly hers. Like, you look at Solange and, hey, let's just say, for the sake of this conversation, let's just play devil's advocate, right? And say that Solange has a whole team of stylists and that she doesn't actually dress herself, even though I know that's not true. But let's just say, for the sake of this conversation, that it is true. And Solange, just like Beyonce, gets with a team of people, has a full-time stylist, has outfits picked for her, and goes outside in those outfits that somebody else picked and that she may have helped collaborate on. But for the most part, you know, there was a team that came up with this look. Let's say that Solange does that as well as Beyonce. Even if it's true, it feels more authentic coming from Solange than it does coming from Beyonce. Solange looks at home in her clothing. Solange looks like she really enjoys the things that she puts on her body for her. Before anybody else enjoys it, she enjoys it. That is the number one pillar of her style. Do I like it? That is how Solange reads to me as a third party. Beyonce doesn't read like that to me at all. Beyonce reads as someone that likes to play dress up, that likes to put on a fit, get her pictures off. But if you put her in a vintage shop right now and said, come up with a fly ass outfit, I think she'd have a panic attack. Like, she strikes me as that kind of person. Whereas I feel like if I took her sister to a vintage store and I was like, hey, come up with a fly ass outfit, she'd be like, oh, yeah, sure, yeah, okay. Like, I don't think that we would elicit the same response from them if they both had that same challenge. And that's because I don't think Solange has a problem making outfits for herself or having a sort a sense of creative direction for herself. I don't think that that scares Solange because she knows herself style in terms of style. And I don't think that Beyonce has that energy at all. I could be wrong, but I'm not feeling it from her. And honestly, based on the track record of all of these clothing lines, no one else is feeling it from her either. No shade, just facts. And that doesn't mean that she's not a lovely person. It doesn't mean that she's not incredibly talented. And again, this is not even just singling out Beyonce as an individual. I'm just using her as a case study, but this is the case for so many celebrities from all different arenas and all walks of life. Like, Lady Gaga was a brand ambassador at Polaroid at one point. I think she was the creative director, as a matter of fact, at Polaroid at one point. And Kanye said it best. What the hell does she know about cameras? It didn't feel like an authentic partnership. So again, this extends beyond Beyonce, as I said. This can go for so many different people and it has so many different far-reaching examples. But the point of it is, people can tell when you're not being authentic, and people can tell when a brand is just trying to tap into your fan base to put some wind in their sails. And sometimes you hit a home run with that and you get sales from it as a result. But oftentimes people are just like, bruh, this is corny. I see right through this. I know what you're doing. It's not even remotely convincing me. Especially these young people, these Gen Z people, like, you're not convincing them of anything. They are so much more savvy and discerning than the rest of us because they've had covert ads shoved into their faces all of their lives on the internet and on their iPads. Now they can see a bogus partnership and a bogus ad a mile away, and they're not going to spend their hard-earned money on that because it's fake and it feels forced, and they don't feel like they want to be part of that sterile, artificial community that you're trying to build over there at Adidas or at Polaroid or at wherever else. It doesn't feel real. Honestly, like, really, you could boil this whole thing down to the fact that this doesn't feel real. And especially in these days and times, we are all looking for something that feels as real as it possibly can. And if it doesn't resonate, we are not gonna buy it. Long gone are the days where you could just slap anybody's face on a box of cereal and it would sell out in minutes. We're not doing that anymore. It's not gonna be that simple to take people's money out of their pocket, quite frankly. And then my last point is that it is really unfortunate to see this devolution, this devolving of luxury fashion and just fashion spaces in general. You have like Naomi doing things with Pretty Little Thing and all of these brands that are tapping into celebrity star power instead of just feeling like the work and the craftsmanship rather that they produce is good enough to stand on its own and is good enough to warrant sales on its own. It's unfortunate that a lot of brands don't feel that way anymore about their work, and that just doing good work and producing a beautiful collection is not enough anymore. And in order to keep afloat and to keep the money train going, brands have to tap into these celebrities now to stay relevant and to stay financially in the black instead of in the red. It's really sad how everything has been upended. And what happens in the end is that it leads to just all of these really watered down, filtered experiences, whether it be in the form of clothing or music or whatever. Because it's so fickle, celebrity and people's attention is such a fickle and fleeting thing. And it's so elusive. It's like chasing the wind. And to see that that's the vibe that all of these brands are on, and we're talking about super luxury brands. We're talking about the Gucci's and the Louis's and the Dior's and the whoever else, like, kind of selling out, quite frankly. And using this guise of, oh, we're doing a brand partnership. We're doing co-creative direction. Jennifer Aniston is the co-creative director of, what is it, Vital Proteins, selling collagen powder. It's just like, why is Jennifer Aniston trying to sell me collagen powder? Is everybody broke? Is everyone broke? If everybody's broke, then they just need to say that. Just say it. Don't insult my intelligence and tell me that, this is in alignment with my values and I'm so glad to partner up with this collagen protein powder brand. Just tell me that you're broke. I would rather believe, I'd respect that. I would respect that so much more than all of these fake think pieces on Instagram of people talking about how all these random brands are in alignment with their values. This sex toy company is in alignment with your values, really? Really? Hey, maybe it is, Who am I to judge? Maybe it is in alignment with your values, but if 10 of y'all are saying something like that, one of you is lying. At least one of you is lying. Come clean. Because we're all getting fatigued. I think we all have celebrity fatigue, brand fatigue, design fatigue. Lord knows I do. I'm fatigued. I honestly don't even tap into what's going on with people anymore because I just feel like it's a revolving conveyor belt of the same thing. Everybody's saying the same thing. Everybody's partnering up with these brands, doing the most random shit you've ever heard of in your life. And it's just like, yeah, okay, yeah, Rachel from Friends is gonna sell me collagen powder now. Yeah, totally. Why not? That's believable. But I'm just ranting at this point, which is kind of fun, but not very constructive. So I like to keep the rants to a minimum. But this is one of my more playful, non-serious topics. And I said a lot, but I think this is a fruitful conversation ultimately, and it's an angle that I don't see enough people talking about. And I know a lot of us feel this, but I don't think a lot of us have verbalized it. And so I definitely want to be someone in this space who verbalizes this. And all I want to do at the end of the day is have a good conversation with you guys and talk about these things on a deeper level beyond just surface level stuff that most people normally talk about. So that's my rant. That's my spiel. I hope you enjoyed the show. I would love, as always, your amazing feedback from your amazing minds. You can find me here. You can find me in the club. No, I'm kidding. You can find me on primarily TikTok, Insta. You can email me. You can do Carrier Pigeon. The choice is totally yours. I would love to hear from you and hear what you think. And I am Beehive once again, so please don't spam me. She is the queen. I am using her internet, but the facts are the facts. And yeah, that's it for me. Thank you guys so much for tuning in for my voice once again. I'm so appreciative to have you here. And please, if you enjoyed this episode or any other episodes, past, present, or future, please tell a friend to tell a friend. Post it. Talk about it in your group chats and on your social media and wherever else. And let's start a bigger conversation. Let's get this community talking. Thank you. Have a good one. Bye.